Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:03 the time. Welcome in. If you're just tuning in, hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings, the Monday, April 1st, April Fool's Day edition of Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, and Zach Boyd. We're in the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, their spring sale continues. 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40, with factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, patio furniture, and so much more. 67 degrees on the way up to 76. It's overcast. We got rain coming in. This evening, scattered thunderstorms are in the forecast. About a 60% chance of rain. Low of 69, so pretty warm tonight. And then tomorrow, we're looking at 77 for a high with rain. A little bit of sunshine, but mostly rain throughout the day. 69% chance. Wednesday looks to be very nice. Rain will be out of the area. About 60 degrees and sunshine. Second hour of the program is brought to you by our great friends at James Gattis Jewelers. They are your family's jeweler at 4900 Poplar, right between Mendenhall and St. Nick. You can't miss it. On the web at GattisJewelers.com. Every Monday and Friday, they bring you the Memphis Sports Fact. Did you know, just 2.5 months after his hiring by Ryan Silverfield as co-defensive coordinator and defensive line coach of the University of Memphis, former Tiger Lou Esposito has accepted a job as the defensive line coach at the University of Michigan. So a third of the way through spring football, Coach Ryan Silverfield has to go back and to the drawing board, if you will, and find another coach. Want to wish Lou the best of luck, but it is one of those things where you never know what will happen with coaches, with players in this day and age, with the transfer portal. I sat with Lou a month ago, maybe less than a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, right before spring football started, and he talked about this being a bucket list job, coming back to coach for his alma mater.
Oh, he checked it off the bucket
list. He did. He checked it off. A couple of months.
Move along.
You can't fault the guy. I'm sure Michigan probably offered three times as much, four times as much money going to coach in the Big Ten. It is what it is, where, again, money talks.
You just look at the number of coaches who left jobs, head coaching jobs, to go be coordinators and things like that. I mean, there's just so much more money for coaches in the Power Five than there is in the Group of Five. It's hard to compete. Like, you can't match the salaries that they're getting at these other places.
Look, most coaches will leave their alma mater. They'll leave their hometown if they're coaching in their hometown if the offer financially is right. And, of course, the situation is right. James Gattis Jewelers, your bridal engagement and anniversary jeweler headquarters. Check them out today. Go over and see James and the gang. Tell them you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings. Okay, so I was talking a little bit about the women to end hour number one. South Carolina in the Final Four. You have NC State in the Final Four for both the men and the women. Tonight, you have the nightcap is UConn and USC, which is a terrific matchup. UConn, a 3 seed at 32-5. USC, a 1 seed at 29-5. Connecticut, a 3.5-point favorite, though, as the higher seed. Iowa and LSU is the one that's going to be the showstopper. That one will start around 6 o'clock on ESPN. Iowa is a 1.5-point favorite. It's a rematch of last year's national championship game won by LSU. On the one hand, you have Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey, who's been in the news a lot here in the last week or so. And on the other side, you have Iowa and Caitlin Clark. I don't think there's any question, even though this is an Elite Eight matchup, that this will be the most watched women's basketball game, I think, in the history of the game. We'll see if the numbers equate to that. But first of all, we're talking about it. A lot of interest across the board in sports talk radio, on television, probably even national news will talk about it. It's just been one of those things. First of all, the women's game over the last couple of years has gotten a lot more notoriety, but Caitlin Clark has taken things to another level.
Yeah, I still am a little befuddled that they put LSU and Iowa in the same region, but at least they do get the matchup. And, you know, this is as good. Tonight, when you just look at from an individual player perspective, I know South Carolina's undefeated, and obviously they've got great players. But when you're talking about Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, Paige Beckers, and Juju Watkins mm-hmm. that are on display tonight, I mean, this is for women's basketball. This is like, and they've got the stage to themselves. Like, this should be, and hopefully we get two good games, and those players all play well. But this is an opportunity to show off the sport, and you know, obviously the NCAA and the people in Portland have provided embarrassment for the women's tournament in the fact that they somehow screwed up the 3-point line on one end of the court, which is mind-boggling that it could happen. And even more mind-boggling, I think, that nobody noticed it until finally yesterday.
Isn't that crazy?
After the number of games that have been played. Like, you can look at the court and see the one end is different than other. Like, it's rather obvious. Like, I can't imagine how that wasn't noticed by anybody before that.
Well, the players themselves and the coaches, right? Let alone fans, broadcasters, workers, anybody. But the players are shooting the 3-point. They're practicing. Then they're going out and playing in the game. There is a game, of course, the Connecticut game will be in Portland. So they'll have it fixed for tonight. But that is, it's crazy that could happen. You had one job, right?
And the funny thing is they actually shot a better percentage.
From the longer distance?
On the one from the regular distance.
Okay.
Rather than the one that's the shorter, that was too short.
Oh, so it's short so and then regular. Okay.
33%, I think. In the games that were played on the regular one.
Right.
And they shot 29% on the one that's actually shorter.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? You're used to the one. The other one's shorter, so you'll probably be long with shots and things of that nature if it's off that much, 4 feet.
But again, it's like, to me, like, and apparently it was a fan, like, but I don't know if, I just don't understand how people, because if you look at the top of the key, like, it was just obvious that those are not the same. It's like, how did nobody even look at a picture or something and be like, wait a second, that doesn't look right? It amazes me that it got to that point, that they played that many games on that with nobody noticing. And I'm glad they didn't decide. I'm glad they agreed to play the game and didn't, like, try and tape down a 3-point line, because that would have just been janky as all get out.
Yes.
You can't be taping down a 3-point line for Elite Eight games, for goodness sake. Like, come on now. Let's have some respect for the game. So I'm glad they just said, you know what, we'll just play with it the way it is. We don't want to delay everything. And we'll hope, again, they're supposed to have it all corrected for tonight's game. But so getting that embarrassment aside, and it's amazing how the NCAA seems to always find a way to screw something up with the women's tournament. Like, they just can't quite get the women's tournament right. There's always something that they go, oh, darn it. We forgot to measure the 3-point line. We thought we had it all figured out. We forgot to measure that one 3-point line. Next thing you're like, is that rim only 8 feet? I think it is.
Damn male chauvinists running the show.
But tonight, I mean, this is it. Like, this is as good a display of college women's basketball. I mean, the stars of stars when it comes to players. Caitlin Clark was amazing on Saturday. I think that the thing that stands out to me about her, as great as she is at scoring, and obviously has all of, literally now, I think every single scoring record there is in college basketball. I'm not sure there's any record that exists without her having it.
Postseason, right?
But she is an unbelievable passer. And what she was doing Saturday was, like, because she's so good at passing somebody open. Like, they're not open, but she puts the ball in a place where they, like, it.
She anticipates.
It's an incredible, like, she's like a surgeon out there. She's
like Pete Maravich to a certain extent.
And the you know, obviously, you know, and Angel Reese came. I was like, that's not like we hate each other. Right, everybody right. wants to build these two or anything else. But I mean, it's this. Obviously, the championship game was a fun. You know, they had the little trash talking, all of that stuff that happened. But I mean, this is it. I mean, this is as good as it gets.
You know what it is
for women's basketball, and depending on who wins tonight, obviously you go on, and South Carolina is still there, and you may get one of these against an undefeated South Carolina team, but it's set up great to display the sport of women's basketball.
It's Bird Magic. That's what it is. I mean, college basketball took off with Bird Magic, and not that the women's basketball has been non-existent in recent years. You've had, obviously, Pat and the great runs at Tennessee, and then Geno and Connecticut to another level, but it has really exploded this year. This can only help the WNBA and women's professional basketball players around the world. Just the whole product being elevated the way it has been elevated. And it doesn't really matter who's involved in it. But I think you have a little bit of the Magic Bird thing with Angel and with Caitlin. And I cannot wait to see this. I have not watched 1 second of the women's basketball tournament. I have seen highlights. I saw all the highlights of Clark from the weekend you talked about with the passing. I have not watched a game. I've not sat down, whether it's, you know, I've had other things to do or whatever. I've not sat down and watched a game. I can't wait to watch that game tonight. So it doesn't matter whether it's Angel or Caitlin or anybody, Beckers, anybody in college basketball. It doesn't matter who has helped individually take it to another level. It just happens to be Caitlin Clark. You roll with it because you're going to be the beneficiaries of it. So why hate her? It makes no sense to do so. She has put women's basketball in the spotlight. I mean, you have the whole Ice Cube coming out with the $5 million offer to play in the Big Three. Because he knows, as an entrepreneur, what excitement that would bring to people around the globe watching the Big Three, beyond just the steadfast NBA fans. It would be opening up another area for spectators, women, other people that really don't care about the pro product. Now they're seeing a collegiate who would be turning pro, obviously. I think it's great. I really do.
Well, I've said I love watching Caitlin Clark play basketball. Like, I've watched, I've watched three games. How many games have they played? This would be their fourth. So I think I've watched every game they've played in the NCAA tournament, watched them in the Big Ten tournament. If I was on, I'm generally going to watch.
I
think she's amazing. She, too, is... She is a big part of why we needed NIL. Because it would be a shame, quite frankly, if she was making no money off of what she's doing for college women's basketball.
No question about it.
Like, it would be stupid, quite frankly, if she wasn't making money off this because she couldn't sign any sort of sponsorship deals. I mean, she is one of the biggest stars, men, women, or anything, in college basketball we've seen in many, many years. And if she was just doing this basically for free, that would be a shame. What she's doing is a big reason why we needed NIL in the first place.
But I give credit to companies who are reaching out to not only Caitlin Clark, but to, I'm sure Angel's done some spots, but who's the other player from LSU? I just saw her in a commercial.
Flaget.
Yes. Juju Watkins. I've seen her in commercials. Well,
and she's probably the one that's going to take the baton and run with it from Caitlin Clark. And for women's basketball, that, like, Juju is that candidate to take the baton and continue.
Yeah, and from a coaching standpoint, Dawn Staley is in the spotlight. She's doing the spots, the Affleck spots with Mike Krzyzewski. So they're getting their just rewards for putting together a pretty good product. And why I like somebody like Angel Reese is because she, look how hard, not that other women don't play hard, but she plays with a chip on her shoulder. It's not all, I'm hugging you, hunky-dory, all that good stuff. Yeah, she said we don't hate each other, but they're competitive.
as heck. And I like that. I like players that play with an edge. And she plays with an edge. Again, I can't wait. And then there's the whole Mulkey story, which has kind of got blown out of proportion. You know, Kim is Kim. She says things that people may not agree with. I love her. I love watching her coach. I like what she brings to the table, just like I love Dawn Staley. I mean, these coaches have taken it up a level. The competitive juice is flowing with these players. A lot of them, obviously, former players. So they're in a good spot. Women's basketball is in a good spot right now. And Caitlin Clark can only help elevate, I think, pay across the board for WNBA players.
Texter on the Sicily's Log Cabin listener line says, you can't blame the NCAA when the women on the court don't even recognize it themselves. Yes, you can.
They're the ones set it up.
They screwed up the three-point line. Like, yes, you can blame the NCAA. Like, it would be like if the rim wasn't 10 feet. You can blame them. It's quite simple.
It's not up to the players and they to didn't figure even out something's wrong or something's right. Now, they could have noticed. I agree. I said that earlier. I said the players didn't notice. The coaches didn't notice. Anybody. But the blame goes on the NCAA and whoever set that thing up. You had one job. They screwed it up.
And it wasn't like you just, like, I don't know, somehow got the wrong distance and so both ends were messed up. Like, when they're two different distances, like, that's just stupidity. And so, yes, you can blame everybody. Anybody involved in setting up that arena in any way, shape, or form should take blame for doing that. Like, that's incredible that could get screwed up.
Right.
No, I mean, it's virtually impossible. Raider Corey texted. He says, I have a small dilemma. I want LSU and South Carolina to meet once again for the championship because I think they're the best two teams, but I love the female version of Steph in Caitlin Clark, and I'm not really a fan of Mulkey. See, I want Caitlin Clark versus South Carolina. Like, I want as many Caitlin Clark games as I can get. I just love watching her play, and I think her versus South Carolina, the undefeated team. But again, I don't like tonight's game is going to be a toss up. I mean, obviously two great teams, and I have no idea. It'll come down to, again, like so much else, if the Marshall girl and those others on Iowa are hitting threes, they become really hard to beat because you're going to get plenty of open looks when you're playing with Caitlin Clark. Can they knock down those threes? That remains to be seen. I mean, LSU obviously, you know, blew them out last year in that championship game. So we'll see what happens. But I'm all for Caitlin Clark winning it. I want her to win a championship. I want her to win a championship because for what she's done for the sport, she deserves a championship.
Lawn Solutions is a locally owned weed control fertilization company that serves the greater Memphis area. The owner of the company is Brandon Holly. He's one of the nicest people I've ever met, and he's got some great professionals that can take care of your lawn. Just give him a call. Tell him you heard it here on Sports 56 Mornings, 901-867-5626, or go online to lawnsolutionsinc.net. They'll kill the weeds, get you that green plush, beautiful lawn. They take care of the lawn all year long when you purchase their services. They're applying post-emergence during the spring and summer months and what they call pre-emergence during the winter months. They could take care of any disease your lawn has or any insect infestation. I once had an issue with moles, and they brought out the grub worms I had issue with as well. They brought out the treatment, gone. Gone in a second. That's what they do. They're good at what they do. That's why they've been around so long, because of people like you that take advantage by using their services. So again, call them today. Find out more about them. 901-867-5626. Locally owned, family operated Lawn Solutions. When we come back, we're shifting gears. We're talking Grizzlies and the NBA. Another epic performance from LeBron last night. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Genuine diamonds, baby.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Grizzlies have reached 50 losses for the season,
After falling to Orlando Saturday night in the Magic Kingdom, 118-88, Grizz have 8 games to go as they fall to 24-50. Brandon Clark in his second game, 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 6 of 9 from the field, 1 steal, 1 block. Certainly the silver lining in this particular game. Jordan Goodwin, if you're scoring at home, 16 points, 11 rebounds off the bench. But the story within the loss was Brandon Clark.
It was actually amazing because the Grizzlies, well, the Magic were going on their 32-4 run almost simultaneously with UConn's 30-0 run. Like, I was watching both games and it was like, this is crazy. Like, I mean, they were almost identical. And I was like, because the Grizzlies went from 9-9 to down 41-13. And it was literally almost perfect timing with the start of the second half of the UConn game when they just kept on scoring and Illinois couldn't score. But yeah, it was a rough night for Jaren Jackson Jr. with the 4 points on 1 of 9 shooting.
Please stop. Stop the center experiment. Stop it. They put LaRavia next to him. I mean, Jaren's the center. How many rebounds he have? 3?
He had 4.
Okay, just stop it. Stop it.
Well, that has nothing to do with it. But anyway.
What do you mean it doesn't? He should not be their center next year. End of story. End of story.
Still would play him at center, but that's just
all right.
Me.
Go ahead.
But yeah, it was good to see. I mean, obviously, Brandon Clark continued to do whatever, just be healthy, be out there.
That was great.
Get his explosiveness, all of that type stuff. But it was like that game, as somebody once said, that one got out of hand in a hurry. Really, really escalated.
So the Grizzlies tonight will be in Detroit. They'll play Detroit tonight on the road, and they'll host Detroit on Friday. Obviously, you're playing Detroit. You have a chance to win both those games. You also have a chance to lose both those games. Detroit at 13-61, worst record in the NBA. 2 former Tigers on that team in Jalen Duren, the starting center, and James Wiseman, the backup center. The Grizzlies sit in 7th, and the only team around them is Toronto. Toronto has 23 wins. The Grizzlies have 24, but more than likely they'll finish 7th. Then you have the draft lottery where anything can happen, but they're not going to drop much more. They're not going to go up. If they go up, they would move into 6th. That means they end up having less losses than Toronto, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But you have 2 wins possible this week in playing the Pistons. So I don't know if you want to win, but you can't control what is happening in Toronto, which is not good either.
Yeah, and the difference between 6th and 7th, I'd have to look at it, but that's going to be very minimal when it comes to percentages, the number of ping pong ball combinations you have in the lottery. Obviously, it's still better to have more of those, but it's not going to be that big a difference between 6th or 7th, and there will definitely be one of those 2. With the win tonight, they would give them more road wins than they had last season. Again, it's crazy to think, but it is possible, very much possible that they could do that and get more road wins than they had last year. But and I didn't even look at that. Who's on the injury report for tonight?
I haven't looked at it to see who
might be playing and who might not be playing in this one. It's always a good guessing game.
So Detroit, Milwaukee on Wednesday in Milwaukee. Friday night, the Pistons here, and then Saturday night is the Marc Gasol jersey retirement against the 76ers. Then Wemby comes in a week from tomorrow and the Spurs at Cleveland on the 10th, which is a week from this Wednesday. And then you close with the Lakers at home and the Nuggets at home. How many more wins do you see in those 8 games?
Like 2 or 3.
Do you see that many?
Like 2 or 3.
I mean, again, who's going to play? Like
1?
Tonight, by the way, Bain out, Conchard doubtful, Aldama questionable.
Now, why is Bain missing games again?
Back soreness.
That pesky back, man.
Okay. back soreness. It's like these guys are 75 years old. We're not stupid. Yeah, the old guy's got some back soreness. I see maybe they win one game. They'll probably split with Detroit, and that's it.
The interesting thing is with the back-to-back Friday and Saturday, like how are they going to handle that? Because Saturday again is the Gasol jersey.
Right.
I expect there probably be a pretty decent crowd there. Like, so do they? But Detroit's the one you'd have the better chance probably at beating.
Are you trying to win? Philadelphia's bad.
So it's like, who do you play Friday? Who do you play Saturday? Because you're certainly going to be very. I'm going to guess there are very few guys of your ones that people care about that are going to play both of those games. Like, I'm assuming Jaren sits out one at least. Again, Bane, all
Clark's
these guys.
Certainly not playing back to back.
So I don't know what kind of lineup we're going to see either one of those two nights, like who they're going to play one night versus the other night to try and have a full roster out there of some sort.
I know the Sixers announced on Friday that they think Embiid will be back by the time before the regular season ends. I don't know if that means he'll be back later this week. So I'm going to doubt he's back. You want to put your best foot forward. You don't want to embarrass Big Spain. You don't want to go out there. And I know Sixers even without Embiid.
They should have just signed him to a 10-day deal. Let him play in the game.
You beat me to it.
And then retired the jersey right afterwards.
You beat me to it. You might as well sign Zebo while you're at it because they're going to do something with his banner as well. But I think you put your best foot forward for Big Spain. You don't want to embarrass Big Spain and lose by 40, even though they don't have Embiid. Sixers not great without him, but certainly capable. I think the bulk of those guys play Saturday. They don't play Friday because, again, you don't play your guys on Friday knowing you're going to play them Saturday. You don't want to go back-to-back, and you maybe lose a game to Detroit, not the end of the world. So I see them playing the guys on Saturday, not so much on Friday. I see them splitting with Detroit. They may still win that game Friday, even if they don't play anybody. Who knows? It's a bad team you're playing against. It's a bad team that you are. So that's all I see. Now, San Antonio, I know they're not a great team, but Wembanyama, the way he's played great all year long, but he is on a tear recently. And for the sake of the Grizzlies fans, hopefully he'll be in uniform and will play. And then you have those two games at the end, the Lakers and the Nuggets, and we'll see where the Nuggets are. They're still battling for the number one seed, but I think even if those two teams wave the white flag, their reserves are better than the Grizzlies' reserves. I just don't see – I see one win in their last eight games, but I do see Saturday Clark, Bane, and Jackson all playing.
Yeah, I don't know. We shall see how they handle this week. You mentioned Wembanyama. Mike, 40-20. The dude is
– And they beat the Knicks in that game when Jalen Brunson went for 61. On Friday, 61, but Wemby goes for 40-20 and 7 assists. And they get the win over the Knicks, 130-126 in overtime.
And the thing is, like, he's been incredible, but they're still terrible. I mean, they're going to have, they're right now third. I guess they're technically tied for third. But, I mean, they're going to be one of the teams with the best odds to possibly get another number one overall pick. Now, granted, there is a that guy in this one. I don't know which direction they would go, but they have a chance if they make the pick right to put another really good piece alongside Wembanyama.
Spurs have had a lot of good luck over the years in the draft, and I know Pops
in the draft lottery and in the draft they've done well in the draft. They've got really lucky in the draft lottery,
right? And who knows how much longer Pops will be coaching for? But the point is that the Spurs are closing in on another, player or two, right? Maybe they get a free agent and then do something with the draft, and it's not supposed to be a great draft, but the way they draft, they'll probably get a star, that they could catch some of these other teams, like the Grizzlies, right? We talk about these good young teams in the NBA, especially in the Western Conference, and we look at Oklahoma City, and we look at Sacramento, and we look at a healthy Grizzlies team, and there's some others. Right, and there's the mixtures like New Orleans, Minnesota, got a few veterans to go along with the young players. But then there's the Grizzlies. Well, look in the rearview mirror because the Spurs are coming on too. And so that's something to be concerned with as well, especially when you have a freak like Victor Wembanyama. Also in the NBA yesterday, Denver clinches a playoff spot. They blow out Cleveland. You had Oklahoma City clinch a playoff spot, winning on a last-second shot against the New York Knicks at the Garden. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, this just in, he's damn good, hits the game winner.
Yeah, tough shot, tough fadeaway shot in the corner. They needed that. It keeps them half a game in front of Denver for that number one seed in the Western Conference. It looks like that battle could come down to the wire. And you know, I don't know how much Denver necessarily cares about it. I'm sure Oklahoma City probably does just because it's a nice feather in the cap. But those two continue to battle for that top spot. And Minnesota certainly still alive. They're only a game back. So any one of those three still could end up as the number one seed in the West.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a great battle. How important is it to be the one seed as opposed to the two seed? You know, we'll see, depending on players that play for those teams. You know, would they rather have them rest up a little bit, or do they want to play all the way to the final game? Again, Denver plays the Grizzlies in that final game of the regular season. How important will that game be? But, man, the Knicks losing in overtime on Friday, then losing by a point on a last-second shot on Sunday. We still don't know if Julius Randle will come back at all, and OG Anunoby has been hurt as well. This is if the Knicks are healthy, they're a dangerous team in the East. But if you don't have those two guys, while you still have talent led by Jalen Brunson, I don't think the top few teams are fearing you, especially if Embiid comes back to Philly, Milwaukee can get it in gear, and the number one team, the Boston Celtics. Also, you had Luka Doncic going for, what do you have, 47?
Yeah, I believe it was
47. And the Houston winning streak, 125-107. Golden State beats the Spurs, so they now have a two-game lead, the Warriors do, on the Rockets for that final spot in the play-in. Houston has played 74, as has Houston. Golden State, 74, as has Houston. So 8 games remaining, 2 games separate the two. Golden State's a game and a half behind the Lakers for the 9th spot in the West. So that's a good run for Houston. They still have a chance, but they get knocked off yesterday. The winning streak was up to 11, was it not?
I know that they get the 11. I can't remember. I know it was at 10. I don't remember.
Zach, do you know that Houston winning streak was up to 11 before they lost yesterday? Maybe I'm wrong. I thought I saw 11. But, Golden State gets a win. They beat San Antonio. Sacramento just doing what they do, keep winning games, led by Fox and Sabonis, 127-106 over Utah. Here's the problem, though. Sacramento loses Kevin Huerter for the season, and they lose Malik Monk. That was announced over the weekend. Monk is out 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL. So that is two guys that can shoot the rock. Monk can score all over the court, and Herter's a three-point shooter. They have Keegan Murray, but that's really, really hurtful for a team that's hoping to make a run in the postseason.
It was 11.
It was 11, thank you.
Yeah, they very well could end up out of the postseason now. I mean, you get a probable first round of the play-in matchup with Phoenix, and then if you lose that, you're going against either the Lakers or Warriors possibly. Like, they very well could be – Sacramento could find themselves out of the playoffs altogether.
And then there's the Lakers knocking off Brooklyn 116-104. LeBron James, you may have heard of him. He was pretty good. He hit 9 of 10 threes. That ties a career high. 9 of 10 threes. He goes for 40 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, plays 37 minutes, 13 of 7 from the field, as I mentioned, 9 of 10 from 3. He was asked about his future, about retirement, and he basically said in a nutshell, I don't have much longer. He didn't really get into specifics. I don't think he's retiring anytime soon, meaning this year, but you see the gray in the beard, the gray on the top of his head. He's long in the tooth, but he's certainly still producing at a big-time level. That was an incredible performance yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you don't ever expect him to go 9 of 10 from three-point range. But he certainly, we saw it here. I mean, he comes in here, gets a kind of a ho-hum triple-double. Really didn't even seem like he exerted himself a whole lot. He gets a triple-double. Now he's hitting 9 out of 10 threes. He continues to be incredible.
What can he do?
It's there are still some people that will try and, I don't know, downplay how great he is, but the dude is, it's, I mean, you know, when it's all said and done, the numbers he will have amassed are just going to be beyond belief. They already are, but he continues to add to it. But I mean, obviously the points, but when you look at the assists, the rebounds, everything else, like everything that he does, it's just, it's an amazing, stupid career that he has put together.
I remember when Jabbar put up the numbers, retired, and people talked about probably nobody ever coming close, and there's LeBron, just shoots by him. Do you think we'll ever have another guy like LeBron? And when I say LeBron, I'm not knocking Michael. Michael's still number one in my book. I'm old school, but it's an easy argument to argue LeBron. But I'm talking about another guy like LeBron who is the physical specimen that he is, has put up all the numbers, like you said, the longevity, the durability. Are we ever going to see a guy like that again?
I just don't see the motivation for guys to play that long. When you're going to be making, you know, $60 million a year, basically on your, if you're one of those elite players, your second contract is going to be like, you know, $300-400 million. And so I just don't know the guys are going to be wanting to play till they're 38, 39 years old. Like,
right.
It's like when you've already made $600-700 million in your career just on court. I don't know. I think his scoring record, obviously with the 3-point line, you know, guys can amass points in a hurry, but I think his scoring record will be really, really hard for anybody to beat just because I just don't see them playing that long. And especially too, with the way guys are rested now and the number of games you play in a season, if you're only playing, you know, if they keep the 65 mark there, you know, you're playing 65 games a year, maybe a little bit over that. But, again, are you really going to do that for 20 years? I don't know. I just don't think so. I think it's going to be really, really hard to ever see that scoring record go down.
From greatness to greatness, from LeBron to Corky's Ribs and Barbecue. You're looking for a great barbecue lunch or dinner tonight? Think Corky's. They've been producing that great barbecue for 4 decades here in Memphis, serving up delicious slow-smoked barbecue. The Q, the ribs, the barbecue nachos, out of this world. They also have delicious wings and the cheese and sausage plate as an appetizer. They even can go with tamales, which I've had there, their award-winning catfish plate, even juicy burgers, amazing desserts. It's Corky's Ribs and Barbecue, and they will cater any event you got coming up. Don't think it's too big or too small. Just call Corky's and ask them about their catering services. They'll start you out as low as $8.99 per person. They have lunch specials every day, party packs that start at just $7.49. Located at Poplar Avenue in Memphis, Poplar Avenue in Collierville, Germantown Parkway in Cordova, and Goodman Road in Olive Branch. While you're there, pick up a Corky's gift card or two. And also reserve their private party room in either the Cordova or Olive Branch location this spring. Graduation party, little family reunion, birthday, anniversary celebration. Think Corky's. Just give them a call and make sure that you have a date and time in mind and go ahead and reserve their private party room. Corky's Ribs and Barbecue, open for lunch and for dinner 7 days a week. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56. 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Diamonds are forever! Woo!
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So it appears that the police have
found Rashee Rice. I don't know what's going on with that weird story. Rashee Rice, who had a breakout year, young wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, back home in the Dallas area, there was a the police were looking for him. I'm not sure if there was an arrest warrant or not, but they were looking for him after they discovered an automobile, a vehicle that was registered to him after a major accident in the Dallas area. So I know I went to sleep last night and they still didn't hear from him, didn't know where he was. Well, a report now out there from Pro Football Talk that he has reportedly retained counsel after the accident involving this car registered to him.
Yeah, that's not a good thing for him, for sure, or the Chiefs. Apparently I guess drag racing type situation where the accident happened and the drivers fled the scene, and he's expected to be suspected to be one of those, and that's not a good one. It's not a good thing to have happening.
Was anybody injured or killed? I hope not.
I don't know. I know it was supposed to be like they said it caused like a 6-car accident, but I don't know as far as, I don't think anybody was killed. I don't know about injuries or anything like that. I never saw really anything about that, but yeah, that is not a good thing for Rashee Rice.
Wow. From the portal news, Jonathan Lawson is transferring once again. He has entered the transfer portal, according to reports. The 6'6 forward played in 17 games last season. Did not get much PT with Creighton after not getting much PT with the Memphis Tigers.
Brock Weiss also.
That's right.
In the portal from Creighton, another Memphis product that's at Creighton and is leaving.
Now, is Weiss a scholarship player or a walk-on?
I think he's a scholarship player, but I don't know if that for sure. The we're over, I think I saw the number was 1,071 basketball players that have entered the portal in this first, I don't know how many days it's been open now, I guess 2 weeks maybe, that they've had, that the portal has been open, and we're over 1,000 guys already in the portal.
Yeah, I'm not surprised whatsoever. As we talked about last week, with each passing team being eliminated, more players will be jumping into the portal. Even the four that go to the Final Four, there'll be players from those four rosters that will jump into the portal. People have asked me about Penny Hardaway and what's going on there. Well, remember last year, it seemed like every Tom, Dick, and Harry that jumped into the portal, Memphis's name was associated with that player. To me, last year, knowing that Penny, knowing that he was only getting back his son Jaden and maybe Malco, and had to fill a complete roster, I think there was a little bit of a rush to grab guys. Now, he may not have gotten all those guys till late. That's because he was turned down by some of them. But his name, or at least the name of the university, was associated with a lot of guys. You don't see that much right now. I think Penny is being more deliberate and taking his time to really evaluate instead of just rush. Now, you have to show interest, I would imagine, with these players, but you never know. As long as there's NIL money available for the lot of them, then I think they'll at least listen. But I think Penny's being a little bit more, this is just my guess, he's being a little more deliberate, that he knows he's going to be able to get players because he's always been able to get players. And he has to fill another roster, almost a complete roster. But he wants to do it with the right combination, the right chemistry, as opposed to just going out there and getting the best names available, which is always great for sports talk radio and for columnists and beat writers to talk about, hey, look at this class, look at this guy. This guy he's going after was number one in the class. No, it's get the right guys. And I think he's just being more deliberate about that.
I have no idea who he has contacted or who he hasn't contacted.
Right, but you don't see or you haven't seen too many of these guys when the reports come out posting 30 schools, Memphis being one of them. There's been a couple, but there hasn't been as many. It just seemed like every single player last year had Memphis on the list or Memphis reaching out to that player.
Jason Munns of the Commercial Appeal has a story up about the attendance numbers for the Tigers this year, the actual attendance, the scan count, not the announced attendance, and how that compares to the other year. They're down from last year, nearly 600 fans per game. Of course, they've got the deal with the Grizzlies and the contract that calls for money based on ticket scan count and all of that other stuff. But according to his story, and they got the information through Freedom of Information Act, they averaged 6,827 fans for their home games, actual people in the building this season. Last year, they were at 7,458. So down again, like almost basically 600 fans per game on average from a season ago.
All right, so let's dive into that a little bit to open up hour number three. We'll talk UFL and the Showboats, their second season, but obviously this being the first season of the UFL, they got their season underway with a W over the weekend. We got some NFL news to get into, lots of other things coming up in hour number three. Before we do that, I want to tell you about a great place to get wings. We are maybe not necessarily the wing capital of the world. We're the barbecue capital of the world. Sorry, I don't care what Kansas City says or what Dallas says. We are the barbecue capital of the world, but we also have some great places for wings. And the Crazy Coop is at the top of that list. If you have not had your wings from the Crazy Coop, what are you waiting for, ladies and gentlemen? 7199 Highway 64 between Appling and Kirby Whitten. Variety is the spice of life. They have 27 amazing chicken wing seasonings that you can get at the Crazy Coop, and that's what makes the chicken wing. Like the Buffalo Ranch, a perfect combo of the ranch seasoning with a little kick to it, the mango habanero, the sweet taste of mango, followed by the heat. If you want to go really hot, the crazy sweet lemon pepper hot or the crazy suicide. Variety, again, is what they have at the Crazy Coop. Also, they have a very thorough menu with more than just the wings. If you're looking for the catfish sandwiches, they have them for you. They have juicy hamburgers as well. Great sides like the fried okra, the green tomatoes, the fried dill pickles. You can eat in, watch a game on any of their big screen TVs, or order out, have any of the delivery services deliver to your home or office. They'll also cater events. So contact the Crazy Coop about their catering opportunities. You can find them on Instagram, find them on Facebook. They're open 7 days a week. Ask them about their crazy packs for those delicious whole wings, party wings, boneless wings, and those big, delicious, juicy chicken tenders. Open 11 a.m. until 9 p.m. You've tried the rest. How about trying the best? Try the Crazy Coop, 7199 Highway 64 between Appling and Kirby Whitten. You're tuned in to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.